And now we talk with the head coach of the Crookston Pirate Boys golf team, Coach Steve Kofed. And Coach, you're able to get another round in. You travel down to the Pequot Lakes early bird invite. You had 21 teams that played the Pines Golf Course at Grandview Lodge in Nisswa. And, overall, I guess, how was the course? Was it in pretty good shape for this time of year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last year when we were down there, I think it was our first event, and I remember our first hole was all the rough and half the fairway was still under snow. So we were kind of not necessarily making up rules as you went, but kind of making up the casual water rule at snowbanks, and there was no snow to be seen. You know, the greens were rolling very smooth. They were quick at that point for a lot of the people. Again, for the most part, this was most guys' first or second tournament round of the year. It seemed like talking to most of the golf or the different teams that were there. But it was in really good shape, obviously, with a pretty simple winter across the state. That definitely should help out the vast majority of the places we see.
When you go to Pequot Lakes in this early bird, when you're able to go, you always know it's going to be a talent-packed. You have teams like Rosemount, Till, Murray, Bemidji, Monticello, Staples, Motley, Cloquet, Roseau, just to name a few. But a lot of really good golfers at this invite.
Yeah, it's a really good field. It's a field where we have the chances of seeing teams that we would not see anywhere else. You know, going up to the Brainerd area, the same thing happened those years that we pulled up to the Giants Ridge golf courses, where the quality of the courses will bring teams from all over the state as, you know, their yearly trip. A lot of those teams we've seen there for years over the course of the whatever 15, 20 years that we've been traveling down to play in this early bird invite at many different golf courses in the Brainerd area. But, you know, or for some of them, this is kind of their one big event before they get deep into their conference play, that if it happens, they can come up. And I know a lot of those teams come, and the resorts usually give us a pretty good deal to spend the night and be able to possibly play the day before or whatnot. So, you know, those courses treat us well and definitely treat those schools in the Brainerd area well. And it's really fun to be able to get over there and play.
Well, they know too that when they have these nice courses like they do, you play it, people are going to say, well, let's go back.
Yeah, I mean, there's countless trips that show up to all of these, of the courses that they played in high school at some point, or just the 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds that are still getting together and any point in the summertime to go do a guy's weekend or a girl's weekend. And those courses know that. I mean, that's the reason why they want the high school teams to come and play, regardless if it's early April. I mean, obviously it's a bonus then, because there's not a lot of 50-year-olds saying, let's go play on a day like it was today. Definitely not going to have a full golf course like with 21 teams and whatever that turned out to be, 130 players. But they're more than happy to have people come and, you know, end of May, beginning of June also to be able to do that, which, again, just good business on their end, and obviously we appreciate it as coaches, and hopefully the players appreciate it also.
You shot a 366 as a team, and how was that score this early in the season for you?
It's early, and, you know, we're still a pretty young team. You know, last year a lot of these same guys were playing, not all of them, but they were kind of bouncing back and forth in the conversation of being a part of our varsity team for the majority of the year, but they really don't have a lot of tournament golf underneath them, you know, and this year being our second tournament, we were almost ahead of a lot of that field, because a lot of them, this was their first, you know, 18-hole varsity tournament, but again, these guys haven't played a lot of tournament golf, so being able to go out and kind of understand what are we doing, I mean, this is the second time for most of them to the Pines, and we played one of the 27 holes. Last year we played a different nine, so half of this was brand new to these guys, and just being able to kind of go in there and understand how to, you know, get yourself around the golf course and try to post the best score you can is still something that we're learning. Overall, I thought we did a pretty good job, as we've kind of talked about that aspect a lot already this year, over the course of the years, of how do we go in and try to get the best we can out of it. You know, and the mistakes that we were seeing weren't necessarily across the board, you know, being way too aggressive and making bad decisions. You know, it was just we didn't make putts that was faster than we thought. You know, we made a bad swing here, a couple big numbers that hurt us, and some of those were mental things, and some of them were just compound errors, or, you know, we had penalty strokes, hit it in the water on a par three, and had that happen multiple times, which leads to a big number if you got a couple penalty strokes. But for us to be at that 360, I thought a lot of good things. Everybody made some pars. We had a couple eagles, which it's been a while since we all of a sudden can say we walked out of there with multiple eagles for the Pirates. A couple guys that made birdies had chances at had good looks at birdies that they didn't convert them. So there was a lot of good holes played also. And that's early season golf.
One of those eagles came from your top scorer, Garrett Fisher. The sophomore had an 86. He had an eagle on the sixth hole on the front nine. And how did he golf?
Yeah, I really didn't see Garrett until probably, I don't know, 12 holes, 13 holes in, something like that. I saw that when I glanced after they probably played three or four holes, he was a couple over par. And when I looked, he had a couple pars in a row. So I wasn't really too concerned. And, you know, these golf courses down in Brainerd and, you know, a couple different courses we play, it's really hard for us as coaches to jump from one hole to another. So when I kind of noticed that after he made an eagle, he ended up making a double afterwards and then another one after that. And it was kind of like, oh, Garrett might be saying I could get over there and try to help him out a little bit on just kind of figuring out what's going on and calm down. But I was probably a half a mile away as a crow flies, and who knows how long it would have been to walk and try to find him. So he needed to figure that out. And when I saw him, he had a great up and down to save par on 13, I think it was, and then kind of got himself in with a decent finish. You know, I think he parred his final two holes, but that little stretch in the middle where after that eagle, he ended up kind of, you know, not hitting shots well and then weren't able to scramble and get up and down and, you know, just kind of how sometimes it snowballs and making three or four doubles in a row is going to hurt your scorecard really quickly. And, you know, take those away, he's down around 80. That's going to put him probably in the top 15. You know, there were a couple of guys around even par, but really in a big field like that and a lot of those AAA schools with, you know, good players for sure being able to be here, you know, all of us as coaches are even kind of thinking the scores might have been a little higher than what maybe was expected.
Then Brandon Tanquist, he was your second best scorer, then 87, and he had, one birdie and about 6-7 pars, and not too bad of a round for Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon's one of those that I'm really hoping I can see him this year where, you know, 87 is going to be his high score. I mean, he, you know, didn't quite finish the way he wanted to, making a triple on his second to last hole, missed a four-footer or something like that on the last hole for par to get in at 86. But, you know, he hit seven greens. He was, you know, in most of the fairways, really didn't have any massively big mistakes, but he kind of said he was really struggling on, you know, that 3 to 5 foot putt that, you know, again, the greens were much quicker than what we've been playing on in Minocqua. You know, you add a little bit of slope to them, and next thing you know, you miss one or two of those three-footers. It gets in your head a little bit, and you're done tentative with your stroke. And next thing you know, he kind of felt like as we were, you know, finished up and walking in, grab a couple of those short ones from inside of 5 feet. We get a knock in two or three of those. That triple that happened on the second or on the 17th hole, we kind of felt like that was, you know, he hit it a little bit offline on his tee shot, and we kind of had two options of just, you know, a really safe punch shot, 80 yards out into the fairway, have 100 yards in, or, you know, try to get a little bit more aggressive and hit it up by the green on the left-hand side and hope it kind of fades back a little bit. And, you know, just didn't really fade and had a little pull and hit into the trees. And next thing you know, it compounded a little bit and ended up with a double. And we kind of felt like maybe that was a little bit more than what we needed to try to attempt on a cool day today, even though he was playing pretty well, where if we punched it out into the fairway, we probably were making five at worst, and we gave away two strokes at that point. So there was a couple of those that you think, but again, there's going to be multiple of those rounds, you know, those kind of moments in every round where you're making a choice of, do I be aggressive or do I be passive? And we've talked, sometimes you got to try to be aggressive. It's not always just punch it straight out, because that's going to be a way that we all of a sudden make all kinds of bogeys, and we're going to have nothing that's better than that. So we got to be aggressive at times. And he felt like he had that shot. So I'm going to tell him, hey, you go after it, and we'll deal with whatever the consequences afterwards. And Brendan has such a good attitude that as he's playing, you know, he hit it over there. Okay, let's go find it. Let's figure out how to get it back into play, and hopefully we can still have a chance to save a five or a six at worst. And ended up with a seven, and his next reaction was, let's just go par the last one, and we'll get ourselves in. And we, you know, almost had an opportunity at that. Like I said, he just lipped out that last putt for an 86, and yeah, that would have been, again, either way, 87 was still a good score for him.
Yeah. Then you said you had two eagles. The second one came from Evan Shockman. He shot a 96, and the sophomore, it was a tough course, but getting an eagle, that's always a plus.
Yeah, I want to say that, but he said that was his first one, and 10 is not an easy hole. I mean, you're hitting off your tee shot off at bunkers, dog leg left, and then you're hitting a good shot coming in. And he said he hit it to 15, 18 feet and then hit a perfect putt, rolled right in the heart, perfect speed, came out of there with an eagle, which is awesome. You know, those don't happen all the time for anybody. But for him to be able to go out and get an eagle on that at the Pines is an awesome run because, again, it's not a short par five that sometimes you end up seeing those 440-yard holes that you can all of a sudden get on with no real need, driver, half wedge, so on and so forth. But for him to go out and play a pretty good hole and make an eagle, and I think for the most part he felt like he was, you know, kind of in that same ballpark. Hit six greens, had a lot of putts, and again, as you kind of look at it, there's a number of those three putts that happened, you know, mixing a four putt, talking about missing some short ones, not leaving it just short in the heart, needed one or two more revolutions, you know. So that's just, again, not being able to get out and play enough golf yet, especially when it's warm enough and so on and so forth. So those things hopefully will come and we'll be able to see that. But again, the common theme was probably we need to work on our putting a little bit, Coach, because we definitely left some strokes out there on the green.
Well, you would expect that early in the year especially.
Yes, and again, I guarantee you that we're not the only team that kind of looked at how we played and said, holy cow, I had a three-putt here, a four-putt here. I missed, you know, two or three ones. And again, from my look, the greens weren't bouncing all over the place, so it's not like we can say it was winner kill types of stuff. Yep. That, you know, you think you hit a good putt and it just bounces. We just, you know, we're overreading them, weren't quite hitting them hard enough, hitting them a little bit too hard. And, you know, you feel like you should make all the three-footers, but like I said early in this conversation, you miss the first one or two. It's amazing how that gets in your head, and and it's tough to recover. Where you start making those first two or three, all of a sudden you're, you know, confident standing over those, and you knock them all in, and, you know, all of a sudden Evan shoots 89 instead of 96, which, again, would be an awesome score. And I think Evan has that in his bag also to be able to get himself under 90, and I'm hoping that can be where we're seeing him, you know, in another week to 10 days.
Tate Hamry, his first meet of the year, he shot a 97. I did see he had a birdie, did not have a par. For his first meet on a course like the Pines, that's not too bad of a number to turn in.
Yeah, I would probably say for him and David both, this is probably the biggest golf course that, you know, they played before. Not that we played super long. I want to say it was like 6,100, but just in the world of the ponds in front and kind of the extra parts that kind of intimidate you on some golf courses, even though they're not really in play. I thought I walked with Tate for maybe the first five, I don't know, he was probably four or five holes in before I found him. I walked three or four holes and he hit the ball very well. He made good decisions off of tee boxes. You know, it was just really his putter too. He said he was chipping the ball well, and in his first three or four holes, he missed a couple of those short ones. You know, ended up hitting two par threes that I walked with him on, and then ended up three putting both of those. You know, so those are just kind of aspects that you take a few of those things away, and next thing you know, his again 97, I feel like could have been 10 strokes without any real headaches. You know, last year when we kind of finished up the season, it was really inconsistent in his long game. You know, and I think he ended up getting some new clubs, some longer clubs. He's hitting the ball really well from what I've seen for the most part. And when we played a couple holes yesterday and the holes that I saw, he was, you know, hitting it to the plate or to points where he can at least play. It wasn't such a big miss that he had no idea where it was going. So that really, you know, made me hope that, again, same thing. We fast forward 10 days or so, it won't shock me if all of a sudden Tate's walking the golf course is expecting to get himself under 90.
Sure. Then you had Ashton Shockman. He shot a 99, and how did he golf?
His was really the tale of he played well on a big chunk of holes. I want to say he had, you know, five or six pars, but he ended up having just a couple where, you know, the big numbers really hurt his score. You know, you start putting some triples, some eights, some nines in there. I know he said he was super nervous on the first hole because the Brainerd TV station was there, so they were filming his group. We were playing with Brainerd, so I'm not sure that what it was, and I kind of I laughed at him and go, Ashton, the Brainerd station's not here for the Pirates. But he's like, yeah, but I was so nervous. So he started out with a quad or something like that in the very first hole, and that front nine was a tough one for him. But when I caught him on, you know, about hole 12 or 13, something like that for him also, you know, he felt like, oh, yeah, I'm in a pretty good spot. He had a good stretch of five or six holes in between, you know. But his was really just the big numbers is what got him. If you take away three or four of those and even just turn them into bogeys, next thing you know, he's down in that 90-ish area. And, again, for a lot of us, that's kind of our number. A lot of these guys that played last year, you know, found ways to keep it under 100, shoot, you know, maybe a upper 80, mid to low 90. And, you know, really the hope for us this year is that those guys can find ways to get themselves into that 85-ish number, maybe sneak in a score that's a little bit better, right around 80. That'll help us. Garrett hopefully can get himself to be 10 strokes better and be something that's a very solid score around that 75, 80, 81, 82 number, wherever we're traveling. And if that's the case, all of a sudden our team score is down in that 330 number, which is going to be now a competitive number, depending on, you know, how what the rest of the section looks like this year.
Your sixth golfer was David Duck Savage, and I was looking through his numbers, and he had a couple of pars on two par threes, but then he had three or four holes that really hurt him with big numbers.
And David has not played a lot of golf, so this was kind of one where he was bouncing back and forth. Is this going to be too much of a golf course for him or not? And then all of a sudden you see him on the range and he hits, 15 shots in a row where he's hitting it where he wants it to go. They're all in the air. They're flying, 200 yards without any questions. So it's kind of like, no, I know Stocks, the coach at Pequot, usually is pretty friendly with this tournament, knowing it's super early in the year, so we're not going to be out there trying to, make this a really tough, difficult golf course. If the good players go out and play well, great, but we're not going to go out and take the six players from teams or the smaller teams that aren't quite as good, be able to go out there and make them feel terrible. So, yeah. I knew that he was going to set it up to where at least we had a chance and hit the ball well. I mean, he ended up filling out his stat sheet, and I'm not going to say how many putts he had, but it was a lot. But again, he gets on greens that are faster than what we see most of the time up in northern Minnesota. Again, with all the slope on some of them and the undulation, and next thing you start adding a number of those, three putting multiple times in a row. Next thing that's 15 strokes right there. So, give him a little bit better putting day, take away a few of those big ones, and next thing he's down around 100. Which, if he would have got something around 100, that would have been a really good score for him. Again, making this trip for the first time.
Yeah, and these are courses. People that aren't familiar with the courses, they're not easy if you're not hitting the ball well.
No, and again, it's perfectly fair. I mean, you keep yourself out of trouble and you don't try to do anything too extra out of the ordinary. You keep the ball in front of you. You can get out here and go put together a decent round and still put a lot of bogeys on the cards. And again, making fours, fives, and sixes aren't going to be the end of the world. It's just a matter of avoiding a few of the big ones and not getting yourself distracted by some of the design of the course, saying, oh boy, look at this massive pond all the way down the left-hand side on number seven. Well, it's only 140 yards, and there's quite a bit of bailout on the right-hand side. The hill will bounce it back to the green. Well, you think of it that direction and not worry about the pond. That hole now becomes not that difficult when it's just going to be a 9 or an 8 iron or a wedge coming in compared to, not seeing that. It's hole number 4 at Minocqua. It's just the difference of now we take one hole side of hole number 4 and turn it into a lake, and it becomes a lot harder hole. So thinking that direction is what it is. And again, he's playing a lot of golf. He's talking the right things. So, I mean, I'm hoping that David as a sophomore can, just dive into it like crazy again over the course of this year and this summer. And who knows, if he continues to play a lot, we'll see what the end of the year looks like for him and what, the next 2 years look like for him also.
Yeah, and, overall thoughts, nice to get the second round in, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun for us to get down. Next week we're pretty busy, so we will see what next week does for us. And like I said, it's always nice to be able to get these early rounds in, see some other schools, get to some different golf courses than just what we're going to see within an hour and a half of Crookston. And that's, always one of the fun pieces is to take these guys a little bit different. Not that a, three-plus hour car ride is always the most entertaining, but it's fun to make those drives and get to those places out of that northwestern Minnesota.
That's for sure. Coach, thanks for talking with us.